Good afternoon. Thanks for everyone to trek over here to see Wing 302. My name's Andrew Bybee. I'm a principal group program manager with the Skype for Business team, leading our developer platform and ISV ecosystem efforts. I'm actually joined today by multiple colleagues that I will introduce, Srividya, David Newman, and Sid. We'll be talking more with them as we get into the session. The goal for today, over the next 75 minutes or so, is really to do a few things. Number one, we want to just give you a quick overview for those of you that may not be quite as familiar with what the developer capabilities of Skype for Business are. So we want to make sure we have sort of a quick refresher. We'll also talk about some of the things that we've released in the sort of recent past over the last sort of 3 to 6 months and talk about how we're seeing those capabilities being used in live scenarios with customers and with partners. So we'll show you some of those scenarios and really talk about how it can bring communications into your business process for your company. And then lastly, there's some exciting new stuff that we're going to show you. It's still very early, so we will just go ahead and sort of give the caveat right now that some things may break. We'll see how it goes. But we think it's very, very exciting, and we think it actually is important to really sort of seed the conversation as we're moving forward. So we'll show you some of those things. But really, in terms of the takeaway, it's really about recognizing that the question becomes, I have Skype for Business, why would I need to develop anything on top of that? What's the benefit? Am I not already using it for meetings and calling? Why do I need to develop on it? And the question really is more about how can you get more out of your business process and how can you actually drive faster adoption of Skype for Business in your organizations? So when you're trying to teach people how to do meetings, in a lot of cases, you want to teach it to them in a tool that they're actually familiar with. And Skype can be that tool oftentimes. And other times, if they live in a different app most of the day, you want to be able to bring it into that app. And we'll talk through some of those examples there. So it's really about a way of helping you be successful with Skype for Business in your organization and to drive that engagement sort of more robustly. So today, we're going to show a fair number of demos. Hopefully, these will go well. And we will go ahead and also talk about some of the investments and the ways that you can bring communications together. I will generally be taking questions at the end of the session if you have any. In the middle, if you really have a question, feel free to raise your hand. Otherwise, let's go ahead and jump in. So a quick show of hands, how many of you have done any sort of development in Skype for Business to date? Okay, so a big chunk of you. Okay, that's excellent. A bunch of you wouldn't be surprised by probably saying that you had done some of that development against on-premises. Here's the real question. How many of you done a project against Skype for Business online in the last 6 months? Okay, so smaller number. So part of my goal is to help the rest of the audience start to appreciate what's coming with online. Part of that is recognizing that we have a rich set of services. Obviously, this starts with Skype for Business, Office 365, all the sort of pieces that you think about. With the launch of our PSTN capabilities with the online service, it also allows you to start thinking about extending your application endpoints into the public switch telephone network, in addition to just the sort of standard link or Skype for Business on-net. Now, as part of that, there's a set of workloads. And so when you think about, okay, what do I develop? Why do I develop with Skype for Business? This is about how you can start to take advantage of these different types of workloads. So there are many different ways that you might consume these workloads. The obvious ones you think about, calling and messaging and meetings and things of that nature, those are, you know, I think we understand that because we have some experiences out of the box that can help to sort of give that context. But when you start getting into things like, for example, contact management or group management, I've had questions about, hey, we're moving people off of Lotus and I want to be able to bring them into Skype for Business, but I want all their contacts to come with them. How can I do that? How do I automate that contact management process? We've also had conversations with vendors, for example, that want to say, hey, well, I'm using Skype for Business, but I need to be able to do some of my own test automation to test for things like call quality and things like that. How can I put those together? How can I manage the deployment of licenses? If you saw Gurdeep's demo yesterday with Ben Canning showing some of the Cloud PBX administrative capabilities with things like call queues and organizational auto attendant, you also saw that he had the ability to script actually that administration action. So the ability for you to cover sort of the both the core calling meeting cases as well as to the management and the administration cases really means there's a very broad surface area to think about. Now on top of that, our focus on the developer platform theme has really been about how we can build a better authoring experience for you as developers and as IT pros on top of these workloads. And we think about that in very much the sort of modern type of a way. So we think about RESTful services, we think about native clients across platform, we think about HTML, HTML5 as sort of native pieces that we want to make sure you can deliver while still being able to deliver through, you know, sort of .NET, WPF, things like that. And then the final sort of piece here is recognizing that on the developer platform side, we acknowledge and in fact we encourage the fact that there are going to be many different types of experiences that are needed in order to make communications work in your business process or in your organization. So when you see the Project Rigel devices that Ilya showed yesterday, when you see things like Surface Hub, these are examples of different experiences that are there to help you have a more effective meeting. But that experience sort of differentiation also extends beyond the classic meeting room and into things like, if I'm a doctor and I'm spending the majority of my day inside of my electronic health records management app, then isn't that really where I want my communications to show up? Isn't that where I want to be able to start my appointments with my patients? So there's a wide variety of experiences that actually will make communications really land and resonate with your customers. So this is great. This is sort of the tech. And really, it's about that engagement with customers that I want to make sure that you are really leaving with today. Because ultimately, communications is just, it's just software, right? It's just all about really bits and bytes. What is it for? And Satya has talked a lot about the fact that it's really about having a very people-centric experience. It's about the mobility of your experience. And so when we talk about your ability to bring communications to those experiences, it's really about recognizing that in order to drive the engagement, the successful use of that app, it's about recognizing that its context is super crucial. And so that context can be about how you can bring communications into context with your app, and it's also about how you can start to bring your app into context with the communication. Both of those are, in fact, actually very important. And so we want to talk about each of those and how this fits into the overall strategies that you hear Satya talking about with things like Conversations as a Platform. So with that, let's just talk about some of the scenarios real quick, and then we'll jump into some demos. So first scenario that we really think about is a fairly straightforward one. Most of you have probably been using Outlook or something similar for a mail client. You're very used to the sort of 10 plus years where we've had this idea of presence showing up inside of Outlook. Now, I'm not sure about you. I know that I use that feature quite often to be able to say, oh yeah, David just sent me a mail. I want to be able to actually ask him about something on that. Let me see if he's available. I can IM him very quickly. We had sort of the ability to do this type of thing embedded into your web experiences, but it was an ActiveX control that required the client to be installed, and it required ActiveX, and it was not a very cross-platform portable experience. And so part of what we've been doing is to really think about how you can now start to bring that sort of instant awareness with presence, instant communication with embedded conversations into a much broader variety of experiences that is very cross-platform friendly. And so this can work for everything from, you know, approvals to chat support to how I represent virtual teams inside of CRM systems and others. But that ability to sort of any place I'm referencing people, I want to be able to actually get in contact with those people very directly. Now, as an example of this, we've worked with a partner actually called Smartsheet. And in Smartsheet, what you'll notice is that they have the ability for you to do project tasks. And so these tasks have people. Where I see these people, I want to be able to actually have the awareness to start those conversations. And I want to be able to then quickly jump into that conversation without having to leave the context of the app and the things that I'm working with. And as I'm bringing people in, you'll notice that I actually have the ability, because it's embedded in the app, to actually take that conversation, save it back into the store. And so now it's associated with that data, that business data that I have. Now, that's one part of keeping the record, but it's also about inspiring the right type of team action and my ability to actually say, I know who's working on this spreadsheet. I can actually select the people that are going to be working on that spreadsheet, invite them to a meeting, and have that meeting kick off. That's a very short example of being able to now start to bring presence and conversations, embedded conversations and meetings into a line of business app experience. Now, Smartsheet, great partner of ours. We talked about them sort of earlier this year. The customers that they've been talking with have been very excited about that integration, and they're very much looking forward to satisfying that interest with their release later this year. So very excited about sort of the pieces that are going on there. Now, the natural question becomes, okay, so this is great, but hey, this is a developer talk, so how do we actually build these things out? What have you actually done? So in April, at the Build conference, we announced the general availability of three important pieces. The first one is recognizing that as part of our platform, we have a RESTful service that we think of as the user API. This RESTful service is actually the same thing that was delivered in Link 2013 and in Skype for Business 2015 server as what was called the Unified Communications Web API, or USIWA, as we like to colloquially call it. I call it the user API because four-letter acronyms just get confusing after a while. So on top of this RESTful service, in 2013, you have the ability to do messaging, presence, meeting, join, and scheduling, and the ability for you to do things like integrated app management. And with our launching this for Office 365 and Skype for Business Online, we actually integrated this with Active Directory, Azure Active Directory. And so you have a strong application identity that now builds on top of the rest of the framework, the same way that you'd register apps for Office, for add-ins, for Azure apps directly. So it's a great part of telling that unified story. Now, on top of this, we also released then a web SDK. Now, the web SDK is something we've talked about for quite some time, but really last spring was where we actually got it out the door to be able to be used in general purpose production scenarios, and we've seen the usage continue to grow since its release in the spring. Now, the basic piece of this is really about a signaling understanding over those RESTful services and being able to actually use those interactive web apps, right? HTML apps that I can then use to start conversations, to manage conversations. But then an important part of this was actually we also talked about the ability for me to have media. And so that ability for me to actually not just do a message, but in fact a audio video call directly inside of my application is a core part of what that Skype Web SDK enables. We'll show you some examples of that in just a second. Now, in addition to the web SDK, we also introduced the Skype for Business app SDK preview. And now, this is still in preview, and this has a very similar model. It consumes exactly the same RESTful service. It has the same core object model, starting with an application, then into conversations, conversation manager, things of that nature. And because it's a native application SDK, it actually provides the media stack for you. So this is now actually an SDK that you can embed into your store app, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. So these are the three pieces that we've announced. We've seen some good uptake from these in the spring, and it's really about starting to then see how can you start to apply these into some other cases. Now, one of those things is to then recognize that these actually get used on multiple fronts. We talked about that embedded line of business app. When I want to bring it into other experiences, how do we think about sort of supporting that? One of the most classic is that inside of the Web SDK, we have a model that allows us to have a slight separation of concerns. And so we actually have the ability to have the media controller, the thing that understands media, as a sort of component that is really pluggable for us. And the same thing with identity and authentication. So in fact, the same Skype Web SDK works for on-premises as well as for online, but obviously the authentication schemes are different. We also know that on the media side, the ability for us by default, when you're using something like IE11, will be to use the Skype for Business plugin. But a very natural question has been, hey, what about Chrome, who has deprecated support for plugins? What about Firefox? And so we want to make sure we can not only provide sort of basic support for that, but we don't want you to have to recode your applications just because somebody's using a different browser. So you shouldn't have to write a completely different stack just to try and support all the different ways that customers are going to try and access your application. So that flexibility is important, and it's part of what has led us to have a very robust support for WebRTC. Now, small editorial on WebRTC. A lot of people think about WebRTC and think about it in almost sort of magical terms. When are you guys going to use WebRTC? Because WebRTC will solve everything. Well, the reality is WebRTC is great for certain things, and it's not great for other things. And what we want to do is really to take a lot of the hassle of WebRTC off your plate and make it possible for you to just focus on the solution that you want to build. So we're very active. We've already said explicitly and publicly that we are committed to incorporating support for WebRTC into the Skype and Skype for Business products over time. You saw that earlier this year, we actually announced support for Skype consumer offerings on top of Chromebooks, running obviously Linux. And as we're looking forward, we definitely see that as something that we're going to be bringing into the Web SDK. The ability for us to support this in the core Skype for Business meeting experience is definitely on the roadmap, and something that you will see over time. But more important than this is the fact that we're actively contributing inside of the working group. And so this isn't something that we're chasing, this is something that we're actually leading. And you can see that with the work that we've done with the Microsoft Edge team for ORTC, which is basically the WebRTC 1.1 spec. And this is really about adding more capabilities that we've learned from in our sort of multiple years of trying to actually support audio video in a rich way. And so you'll see some of these things play out over time. But the most important piece out of all of this is the fact that we see this as not just something that we add on to the side, not just something that you have to transcode or introduce a whole new set of servers for. We see this as something that is going to be supported in our core MCUs. So the MCUs, the things that are handling the media processing, will get core native WebRTC support. So you'll be able to talk to those MCUs directly. So it's a huge important thing for us, and it's obviously something that we're spending a lot of time working on. I get the question a lot, when are you guys going to support WebRTC? Fingers crossed, we'll show you something today. Fingers crossed. But it is something that we're actively working on. Okay, last sort of key scenario before we jump into the demos. So I talked about the line of business app. But the other place that we're seeing a lot of interest is the classification of scenario we think of as remote advisor. Now, remote advisor is something that you see a lot of. It happens to be sort of trendy right now in the health space. So virtual care is something where we've seen a lot of interest from providers where they want to be able to have patients call their doctors and have that as what used to be a phone call, make that a video appointment. Now, if you haven't been in the health space for a while, you may say, well, what's the big deal? We've been talking about video to people in the field for a very long time. The difference, not surprisingly, is the money. Because today, especially in the US, what you're starting to see is that Medicare and some of the federal programs for medical insurance are now actually paying more for video visits than they do for phone consults. And in a lot of cases, you have doctors that are actually taking calls off hours, just normal pager calls from their patients, and not getting paid anything. And so if I can have a 10-minute or 15-minute video visit with a patient, it's not only a better experience because I'm actually able to make eye contact, they can show me some things that are going on, I get paid more, they get faster service, they don't have to come into the office, any of those types of things. But it requires that video work where the customer is. And so this is where we see a lot of demand, not just for video in the web, but we also see the demand because these providers are delivering apps for mobile devices. Those apps get put onto the iTunes, onto Google Play, onto the Microsoft Store, and they want to be able to actually have a great customer experience of the customers against that, right? So this is the, you know, 65-year-old senior citizen who wants to be able to get the thing on their phone, doesn't want to have to go through a bunch of hoops, doesn't want to have to download a second application, doesn't want to have to get another account. They just want it all to sort of work. And on the provider side, they want this to be able to actually be integrated and connected in with the Skype for Business infrastructure that they have. So that ability to have that embedded audio and video experience integrated with Skype for Business, integrated with your store app, is very, very compelling. And we're seeing a tremendous amount of interest, really worldwide, from organizations that are looking to be able to deliver this scenario directly. All right, last piece here. The last piece is recognizing that the experience on the provider side is also very important. And in many cases, whether it's because they're working in, again, an EHR or a ticketing system, that experience of the agent or the clinician or the provider is also very, very important. And so how we can deliver those embedded experiences become a key part. Now, again, recognize that at the beginning, embedded experiences are super important. They work together hand in hand with your core native communications experiences. So let's talk through a little bit about sort of what those look like. Some of the examples that we've shown you Smartsheet. We've talked a lot about MD Live, but I want to actually show you a couple of examples today that we haven't actually demoed yet. Salesforce was an example that we actually made a fairly big announcement for. Last year at Dreamforce, Satya got up on stage, talked about things like the iPhone Pro and things like that, where it was really an iPhone, but it was all Microsoft apps. And as part of that, we also talked about the role and the value of having Skype for Business actually in your Salesforce experience, actually something that I could see Skype for Business presence, I could start those conversations, and we said that we were working on it and that we were going to announce it soon. So you guys are getting an early sneak peek. We're going to be talking a lot about this next week, actually, at Dreamforce, but we wanted to give you guys actually an early glimpse of sort of what this is looking like. And so to help me do that, Srividya is going to join me on stage. And we're going to talk through our demo of Skype for Salesforce, which is the name that you'll see actually showing up there. So with that,
thank you, Andy.
Sort of kick it off.
Thank you. Do we want to switch the screen?
Yes.
Simon.
Okay, so Salesforce, what do we got?
So this is a Salesforce Lightning experience. This is one of the newer experiences that they have released within the last year or so. What we're going to show you here is if I am a Salesforce user, I am a salesperson, a marketing person, my primary job is to stay inside of my console and see as many opportunities that I can land and I can lead and I can make money for my company and drive the business. So as part of that, what we decided is, hey, let's bring productivity into the Lightning Experience app. Let's not have a separate launch out or native Skype for Business where the user would have to switch context from what they're doing out to a different app. So here's what we've done.
So while she's working on that, I'm on my phone. And so on my phone, I'm running the Skype for Business client. And of course, I'm presenting, right? So I want to make sure that if I'm doing something that we can do it sort of fairly quickly. And she wouldn't necessarily know where I was if she was on the other side of the door. But I haven't responded to her messages yet, which is kind of my bad. So what are we going to do about that?
So Andy and I have been working on this $4 million opportunity.
$4 million.
And I've been asking him for some information, and I haven't received it yet. But I need to close on this as soon as possible. What do I do here? I go to my chatter feed. Chatter feed is like where you post someone or a follow-up comment, and then it's think about like a Facebook feed where everybody within your organization is able to see and collaborate. So I actually posted a message for Andy earlier today saying, were you able to find that contact that I need to move forward with our partnership experience? And I haven't received it, so now what do I do? I go over here and I am seeing, hey, Andy is available in some endpoint somewhere, but he's available. And maybe I should try messaging him and see if he has a second. He's available. Do you have a second?
So now I've got the message from Sri. Do I have a second? Yes, but in a session.
And there I can see that Andy's actually responding to me right there.
I guess it takes getting in a session to get the response back.
So I go there and I actually directly start my video call. But please pay attention, I'm actually doing this straight out of my Edge browser, meaning I don't have any plugin installed. And this is a live working example of having ORTC integration.
So I've got the call. I can see Srividya's video. And I'm going to go ahead and start my video now. And you'll notice that in the process of starting my video, that we've got, I'm walking around and having the conversation. So this is part of the power of being able to do that. But in addition, they also have the ability to work together. And so obviously you want to talk about this opportunity, I think, right?
Yes, I do actually. Hey, Andy, I had a quick question. I'm going to go over to this opportunity right here.
Yep.
And I want to know what should be our implementation start date here. I'm looking to close this like today, if possible.
Okay, so we talked about closing this at the end of the month. We had said we wanted to get the implementation started by mid-October. So let's go with mid-October.
All right. I think that's about right. We don't want to postpone it too long.
Awesome. Okay, so she's been able to keep the call going while she's moving around inside of Salesforce as a single page experience, being able to navigate, get to the records that they need. Perfect example. Her primary task is setting the sort of the start date for the project. She doesn't want to jump out, start a new communication, do all those other things. But now she can just go ahead. We can drop the call. Thank you, Sri. And at that point, she's ready to keep doing her job. That's an example of embedded communications in the context of me trying to do my job, or in this case, Sri trying to do her job inside of Salesforce. So what do you think about that?
There's one other point I want to add, which is I do want to show the Skype meetings as well. So it's not just embedded presence and conversation, but we also have the ability to actually schedule meeting and add mention a user and schedule it for a future time right from within that activity itself. So this is what it is. And I go here, I put in talk about the partnership, and I schedule it for a future date and time. And then I just go ahead and I save it. And now that meeting is available for Andy to join and we can discuss it and make progress.
Yep. Awesome. Excellent. Yes, question.
In what client are you on this Skype for Business client?
So the question was, is what client was I on? So Sri was using the web SDK inside of Salesforce, using the out-of-box integration that we're delivering. I was on the Skype for Business mobile client for iOS. All right, so this is pretty cool. Should we give the other one a try?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see if we can give the other one a try. So the other one is we've also talked about our integration of what we've done for, we've also talked about the integration for Outlook Web Access. And inside of Outlook Web Access, obviously, you know, we see a broad variety of browsers trying to check their mail. And so as part of that, obviously, Chrome has a fairly good percentage of traffic against Outlook Web Access. And so in this particular model, what we wanted to do is what would that model look like if I'm in Chrome and I want to make a call? Chrome doesn't support the plugin. It doesn't have the sort of the quality provider that Edge does, but it does have a WebRTC implementation that they've been working on. And so with that, let's go ahead and check out what this might look like in Chrome.
So this is our embedded Office 365 experience where you have the Skype pane. If you guys are already in production Office 365, you would be able to see this in your and actually have chat conversations today. What we're doing is we're enabling audio video in it, but we're also trying to do that with the Chrome surface area here, which does not support any plugin. Basically, this is our first demonstration out on our support for WebRTC. So what I have here is I have a couple of test users. This is an internal environment that we're using. So I go ahead and I say, hey, I want to actually have a group conversation with a couple of users here. And this is our value prop for Skype for Business is, hey, meetings. You can actually go ahead and do the meetings here. That's our focus area here, and also to show that this is native now to our MCU stack. So I go here, and let's try audio calling, plugin free. We need to make sure our other clients are. Getting the notification.
Yes, there we
and
go.
And they are. So both our desktop and our mobile client natively is able to interop with the Chrome client on audio. And I just turned on my video.
Okay. And now if we switch over for a second, you'll see that her video is actually showing up. And so what does that look like on my side? You can actually see that we've got her video showing up, WebRTC video showing up directly inside of the desktop client coming through a meeting. And if I want, in fact, I can go ahead and turn on my video directly. And in the process of doing that, now we've got my video, we've got the WebRTC video, and they're both showing up inside of that browser-based experience. Do I get a little bit of a round of applause for that one? All right. Why do I call it Chrome instead of just a browser? So this is a great question. Let me spend a second talking about that. So in order to do audio video in any sort of environment, you need to have some piece of code that understands how to take a stream of content, media, and decode that. So there's codecs, there's sort of the negotiation of the protocols, there's the ports that you have to open up. Everybody was doing their own thing. Our plugin does its own thing. WebRTC is really meant to provide more of a standard for how providers could actually do that negotiation and some of that encoding, what type of codec to use. And so Chrome has provided a media stack inside of the browser so that you don't actually have to now require that plugin. Microsoft Edge also does not require a plugin. We actually have a media provider in the browser itself. And so when we talk about a browser application, you can write your HTML application, you can have some users might be in Edge, some users might be in IE11, some users might be in Chrome, and your app would need to understand how to work in those different environments. The web SDK abstracts the media provider from you, and so you just have to worry about talking to the media provider object. You don't have to worry about the underlying implementation, and our SDK takes care of all of the rest of that complexity for you. So as far as the developer is concerned, you're writing a browser app. But when you're testing compatibility, just like you would test compatibility across Safari and Chrome and Firefox, you want to be able to understand how your media is going to work across the browsers. So we are starting with WebRTC support in Skype for Business Online, and that is going to be something that we will be talking more about later this year. What we've showed you today is a very, very, very early sneak peek about sort of how this is coming in, but I wanted to emphasize the point that we are working on it. It is actually coming, and it's something that we're doing in a very native way. And so when it finally is available, it won't be something that you're necessarily going to have to deploy a bunch of other hardware for, or think about media scaling separately for. It will be part of that story, starting with Skype for Business Online. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Excellent job. All right, so let's keep going. Now, we've talked a lot about embedded calling, and for those of you that have attended some of these sessions in the last year, you're probably tired of hearing about the Web SDK. So, in that respect, let's move forward. So, part of this is recognizing how can I start to connect my service into these conversations? How do I get my logic into the experience that we're trying to deliver? And so, Satya has talked a lot about this. We think about this as conversations as a platform. If you saw Satya's session last night, his innovation session, he talked a lot about what we're doing around artificial intelligence. And the idea that in this artificial intelligence space, there are multiple sort of segments that we have to sort of focus on. One is agents, and thinking about how Cortana and how that personal assistant can really help to drive and moderate some of the conversations. Also thought about apps and sort of how those apps actually participate. He talked about Office 365 and Dynamics and bringing intelligence into a sort of much more native way. We think about bots as very sort of purpose-built interactions that you can have with your end users. And part of what AI is doing, bots as a concept have been around for a very, very long time. So what's new about it? Why is all of a sudden sort of interest picking up again? And it really is about because of the leaps that we've been making in AI and the work that's been going on around, you know, everything from, you know, sort of fixed gate processors and how that fits with GPUs and how that fits with the cognitive services in Azure. There's just an amazing amount of capability that's now available to you as a developer to make your bot smarter. There's a ton that we're going to be talking about. He mentioned some of it yesterday. This is going to continue to be a theme for us as we go throughout the year, and we're going to have a lot more to talk about later in the year. Right now, though, we want to sort of recognize that on top of all that intelligence, you still need to have the core communications pipe. And that's really the role that Skype is here to help you solve. How do I get these things connected? And recognizing that part of that connection is not just with bots, but it's actually bots talking with people. And it's also recognizing that as part of putting your solutions together, not everything is a bot. There is actually the idea of something that is really doing a job that's trusted on your behalf. We think about these as trusted application services. So for example, if I have something that's doing recording, not for an IVR, but actually for audit and compliance, the user in fact shouldn't know anything about it. Or maybe in fact, if the user does know about it, it's because that there's a regulation that says that I have to issue an auditory beep every 30 seconds to let them know they're being recorded. Or complex call flows, or a variety of sort of other capabilities. So when we think about sort of what it means to build these solutions that manage the communication pipe, that's really where we see it as being very complementary to the discussions and the sort of scenarios that you hear about with bot framework. So it's really about how you can connect that, including and out to the public network. So this isn't about sort of locking you into just the Skype network. We want to make sure that with the launch of what we've done with PSTN services for Skype for Business Online, you can actually now start using those capabilities and connecting to the public network. Now, as a sort of idea here to think about, there are a bunch of types of solutions that you're going to go and want to build. And these are all, you know, multifaceted solutions that work across different modalities, but they also have voice as a very key component of that. Some interesting research, you know, obviously, when we think about things like digital channels for how you interact with customers, a lot of things about like web chat and others, super important, growing very, very quickly. But voice is still over 60% of the traffic for most customer service organizations. And so as excited as everybody gets about chat, and we're also excited about chat, we have to remember, like, voice is still an important role there. And there's a lot of companies that are still running very old PBXs, old Avaya systems that we want to help bring forward into sort of a more modern omnichannel kind of an age around these different types of solutions, inbound, outbound, a tenant console, things like emergency alerts. Obviously, we have, you know, an environment today where emergency alerting becomes increasingly important, but also compliance is a sort of a key piece of all that. So these solutions are varied, right? Lots of different providers putting them together, lots of different industry needs. But on top of these solutions, really what they need is a platform that allows them to actually do the right types of integrations. And so whether it's, hey, how do I actually do interactive response? I want to build an IVR. How do I do that in Skype for Business Online? I want to be able to write my own ACD. How can I write my own distribution and queuing system in Skype for Business Online? I want to be able to actually control the flow. So when somebody calls, I want to be able to check a policy or a setting and decide maybe they can't make that call, or maybe I'm going to send that call somewhere else. How would I put those things together? And then when you think about the integrations, we showed you an example of an integration with Salesforce. The ability for me to actually now connect that to other types of apps becomes part of that. And so you see there's actually a wide variety of these PBX apps that we expect people will need to be able to build inside of Skype for Business Online in a native way, using the power of Azure, using the power of what's happening on cognitive services. So how does all this come together? That's the big question. And the typical question I get from many of you that have been in this space for a while has been, hey, Andy, when are you guys going to support UCM in the cloud? And what I say is, never. And you go, what are you talking about? UCMA is critical. Well, let me give you the short pitch about this. UCMA is designed for a sort of 2000s era model for server topologies. It's very embedded with the operating, with the sort of the model for Link and how that got built out. It doesn't really work super well for distributed cloud applications. It just doesn't. Doesn't mean we don't love it. Doesn't mean we aren't going to continue to support it. It's a great set of technology if all you're using is on-prem. But if you're using the cloud and you're using online and you want to take advantage of Azure and all those other pieces, you need a new story, which is what we're doing. So to help you get a sense of that, then, part of what that comes together is to recognize that we're following the same type of model with our platform for these types of solutions that we have already released for our user interactive apps that we just showed you some examples of. So just like we have a RESTful service that is exposed and accessible and authenticates integration with Active Directory, we are introducing a new set of resources that will basically make it available for you to do these types of trusted application tasks. Now, this is a good point to call out something that I think is also just as a naming thing. Trusted application is really long, and it doesn't shrink to Hungarian notation very well, does it? Trusted application is not the final name. So I don't know if I need to put it in quotes or call it Project Trusted Application, but that won't be the final name by the time it's fully released. But it is our set of APIs for building trusted application scenarios. Think about it that way. Now, on top of that, there is actually the ability for you to now consume this trusted application through a projection that makes sense for you. So we've done some work around a C-sharp version of this, and part of this is also about understanding how you can actually consume and build on top of Bot Framework to actually use all the pieces of Bot Framework. But then, obviously, we're covering a much different set of scenarios with these trusted services than just interactive bots. And so recognize that it's one aspect of what we're delivering. It is not a second Bot Framework. It is not a replacement for Bot Framework. It's just another set of use cases that you're going to want to take advantage of. So hopefully this gives you a sense. The model is the same. The implementation is very same. It's really just part of the Skype for Business platform service in Skype for Business Online that puts these things together. Now, how does all this sort of happen and come together? Well, so you're going to build customer experiences. You saw Outlook Web Access, you saw Salesforce, you saw Smartsheet. These experiences will extend beyond just the digital ones into voice channels, and you're going to do that through our user interactive service. Now, that user interactive service is going to interact with your trusted application. Could be the IVR, could be the routing engine. And at the same time, you're going to want to be able to build that agent experience, which will also be against the Web SDK and putting those things together. Or, as we showed, maybe it's against my native Skype for Business client. Your application endpoint, your trusted app, is in the middle of these conversations. It is moderating, it is brokering, it is facilitating the conversation that you want to have. So when you want to move beyond basic, I can know David's SIP address and I can message David, to, hey, maybe I want to be able to talk to either David or Sri, depending on which one happens to be in the office today and which ones were, you know, was working on my project last week. Well, that's a slightly more complicated conversation. That's routing. So how do I build that type of intelligence into the call flows that are going on? So hopefully this gives you a sense of what's going on there. Now, one other piece, and then we're going to have David come up and actually show us some examples. When I talk about integration with Azure Active Directory, there's a couple of important points I want to make sure that you guys understand. One is that when we talk about registering apps with Azure Active Directory, that brings a whole other sort of host of benefits to it, because you're now managing that as an explicit app. And so you're talking about telemetry, logging, all the other sort of pieces that come along with that. You now have the benefit when you're running that application in Azure Active Directory. Secondly, when you think about how this gets provisioned, part of the reason these are trusted apps is that these aren't random things that show up. These are things that I've explicitly said are going to take care of some very important tasks inside of my organization. And so not only we will have the ability for you to do some of these on a per user basis, like if you're going to Office Store and getting an app, but the other key piece of this will be the ability for me to actually provision these as an admin as a trusted application. That's a higher level of privilege. So that ability to have that higher level of privileges is going to be something that you can do for each tenant. So if you're an ISV, for example, or you're building software for others to buy and consume, you can develop that inside of your Office 365 tenant. And when you sell it, those customers will register it in their tenant, right? So that ability for me to have that app in Azure Active Directory allows me to have per tenant endpoints for those things. The last piece is when that tenant decides to take your IVR and assign it to a phone number, that is something that they can do multiple times. So they might want to have, in fact, multiple phone numbers that can talk to your IVR. And so that is something the tenant can configure and actually put together. But it also means that you're taking advantage of the full capability of Skype for Business to be able to address and connect to those endpoints. I have just said a bunch of words, and you guys are probably trying to make some sense of some of those words. Hopefully the diagrams help. But realistically, in this type of discussion, demos really help a lot more. So I'd like to bring David Newman up to help us walk through exactly what's going on here. Now, while David is putting this stuff together, one of the things that we want to do is recognize an important thing. This important thing is as follows. The demos that you saw for organizational auto attendant and call queues are built using exactly the same platform that we're about to show you right now. So what we are shipping is being built using the technology that we are making available to you guys. So this isn't something that's necessarily off to the side. It is a core part of the application architecture and platform stack for Skype for Business Online. So it's important, because then recognize that as we move these capabilities forward, means that those things are going to actually start showing up for your applications as well. Now, let's start from the basics, and then we'll sort of move up from there. Now, basics, customer chat and messaging. So what do we got going on here?
Great, thank you, Andy. I'm excited to be up here to really be showcasing for the first time to an audience, really, some real examples, working code of the Trusted Application API and our new model in Skype for Business Online for trusted services. So we're gonna show a series of scenarios to really get you thinking around what is this new set of capabilities that we're providing and how that kind of fits into our overall RESTful model and layer that we have for Skype for Business. So what we're looking at here actually is we're going to start with a simple example. And so this is actually a test harness of mine, so an internal sample that we have. So this is a developer session, right? So,
that's right.
So you guys are okay with this, right? What we're actually looking at here is two different web pages. You can see here over on the left side, I've actually got an agent experience web page, and I can actually zoom in here a little bit so we can see. So I've got a little agent chat widget over here, and then on the right side, I've got another browser window, and that's actually our customer browser window. Yep. What I'm going to demonstrate here is actually taking, if you saw the diagram that Andy showed around combining those rich client experiences directly with those back-end trust applications, really to build an end-to-end scenario. That's exactly what we're looking at here. So we're going to show a customer care web chat-based scenario, and we're going to show this using our entire cloud platform. So there's going to be no UCMA dependencies with this solution. It's really just kind of built natively directly on top of that cloud platform using both our web SDK as well as the new Trusted Application API. So what you're looking at over here on the right, you'll see in this customer page, likely in a customer scenario, I'm going to have some context about that customer. There's going to be some information in this page. You can see in this field, this customer, you know, they're looking at subject one within the web page. We've got a bunch of info about them. And this customer is actually just looking to get connected to look for help, for example, from this web page.
Now, does this customer have a Skype for Business account?
This customer does not have a Skype for Business account. So this is from our perspective, we call that an anonymous user. This is an unlicensed Skype for Business user. They don't have, you know, any credentials or any accounts. They're just a user within my website and more an external kind of end customer type role.
Okay.
And so what we're going to see is how we can actually now bridge this customer who is anonymous directly to a trusted application. And we're going to show some ACD functionality. We're going to show how that call will actually get routed based off of some context information to an agent that's actually available on Skype for Business. And in this case, we've actually built a full agent experience as well. So let's stop talking. Let's get right into
it. Let's dive in.
Let's click Start Chat. So we can see I've got some prompts over here on the right that I'm actually showing a bit of actually what's happening here. And so we can see that we're actually going to leverage the Skype Web SDK within this page. You can see I've actually been placed into a queue, and the app Trusted Application has actually now already found an available agent who happens to be my user over here on the right, agent 14901. And we can see as the agent, I'm actually just going to go ahead and accept this call because I'm marked as available. Up here you can see we have my kind of presence state embedded within the page. And you can see now I've actually been connected within a chat. So if we zoom here, we can see my customer, who I had the name of Tony Stark, has now been connected. What we've got now in the agent side is that we've not only helped to bridge that conversation, but we've actually now passed context information directly from that web page over to this agent dashboard. So you can see the agent is actually now getting some rich information over on the right. Again, it looks like a developer sample, but you can see I'm getting all the info I need to be able to effectively help out this customer. So you can see now if I just type a message here, I say, hi, Tony, how can I help? We can see now that message is being now bridged and sent over to our customer in the web page here. And we're actually using our conversation control, which you saw in the earlier demos.
You didn't have to implement the typing indicator or anything.
Correct.
Like that.
So if we look here, if I'm the customer and I'm, you know, typing a message, I need help with subject two. we can see, there you go. So now I can see that real-time typing indicator. When I'm typing the message, I can see Tony Stark, and the customer can also see the typing indicator on the agent side. Now, not only is this kind of, you know, it's a direct conversation, but we've actually got a trusted application in play here with this conversation. So it's actually managing this flow, even though this looks a bit like a peer-to-peer. I'll let you know an example of, you know, some of the type of kind of more complex scenarios now that we can bring into play because we have that trusted application. So for example, this customer just asked, you know, I need help with subject two. You can see I'm an expert in subject one. This agent here. So I actually need to go and actually find an agent or route this to a different queue with an agent that has the expertise in subject two. So you can see I've got a little widget down here as an agent where I can actually set some context for the agent queue that I'm looking for. So I'm going to go and set subject two here. That's the agent that I'm looking for. And what I actually have open over here in my other browser is I'm actually logged in as another agent. And you can see this particular agent actually does have expertise in subject two. And we can see that agent is available as well. So let's start and let's actually just invite this agent to the conversation. I don't really want to do a cold transfer. I'd like to bring them into the conversation first. So I'm going to click on invite an agent and we'll see now we're getting kind of routed to this queue on this agent side. If I go over here in the web page, once this call gets routed, this particular agent has the skill set for subject two. So this agent is now going to get an incoming conversation invite to actually join into that particular conversation. And let's hope that this agent does have skills for subject two. And just in case, I might make sure that they're still available. And there we go. So now that I've become available, I can click on accept to take this message. And now this agent has actually been bridged and joined in that conversation as well.
Yep.
So I can say, this agent, I don't show this in my sample, but the agent would like would get a transcript of the existing conversation that's actually already happening with the customer. So if we go over here, now, you know, as this agent, I could say hello. And if we go back and I pull up all three of my browsers, now we can see that I've got test agent two as a part of this conversation. So as an agent, I would I'm going to do a warm transfer here. I'll just type warm transfer. I'd give the agent some background of this customer. And then once I'm done, agent one could say, great, that's done. Agent two is kind of handling this now. Let's just do a transfer here. So I'll click on transfer. This call is now going to be just completely transferred over to agent two. You can see I'm back to my kind of default screen as an agent. Over here, now you can see I am still in the conversation with the customer. And if we pull up the customer page, now you can see that the customer is now in a conversation with the other agent. So that's, again, very, very simple scenario, but it's an example of the different types of new scenarios we can now enable once a trusted application is involved in that process. Things like being able to have a supervisor whisper in, being able to do IM routes within this type of conversation. So maybe the agents can have a side conversation, the customer cannot see those messages that are going through. Really any kind of those kind of more complex routing. And this is just all enabled directly through the Trusted Application API. So there's no on-premises ACD or routing pieces that are part of it.
So it was your cloud ACD using the Trusted App APIs that was able to decide which agent had the appropriate expertise for subject two, send them the invite, get them connected. When you're pressing the transfer button, it's your ACD app that's deciding, who to drop, which legs to go. All of that's basically covered as part of that logic.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So this is cool. I like messaging. But, this isn't the only place that people message. Like, people want to be able to talk to me from other places. So what do you got for me?
Yeah, that's a great question. Web page to web page is a pretty viable scenario. It's used in a lot of cases. But, Andy, you mentioned a bit earlier about bot framework. If anybody's familiar with Bot Framework, it really opens up the opportunities for you to write your code once and be able to have that code run in multiple channels. You could have that run in Skype Consumer. You can have it run in Facebook. You can have that run in a web page, for example, in another kind of client-based experience, all by writing that code a single time. So what I'm going to show you now is a kind of proof of concept that we've done where we've actually connected this RESTful Trusted Services API, we've connected that up to Bot Framework. And what that really enables you is now to use Bot Framework and some of the intelligence pieces there to actually expose now these types of capabilities through many different consumer channels. So the example we're going to look at is actually here. I've written a Metio Healthcare bot. So you can see I'm just in my Skype consumer client.
Yeah.
See this contact here that I've added for my healthcare organization, which is called Metio Healthcare. I'm just going to go over here, and I'm just going to message this bot in Skype. And what we're going to see is that the bot is actually now written in Bot Framework, and I'm going to actually be able to have a real-time conversation directly with this bot. And hopefully, the response time is pretty good on this.
Proof of concept.
Proof of concept. And luckily, I have the bot actually open, so I'm going to do a quick test here, make sure we're connected. And so you can see, if you've used Bot Framework before, this bot is just written directly in Bot Framework. I'm going to make sure that we're connected. There we go.
There you go.
So I'll just type reset, and then we'll try this again. There we go. Okay, so we can see that my bot is responding. So now if I type hi from the Skype client, there we go. So this Skype, this bot actually knows who I am. Hi, David Newman. In this particular case, it's a healthcare bot that can actually, you know, help me schedule an appointment with my provider. I'm going to click on book appointment. The bot's going to go and pull some available appointments for this particular physician. I'm going to say, you know, I want an appointment at 4 p.m. Do I have any special requests or questions about appointment? I'm kind of wondering, do I need to bring any, you know, forms or anything in particular for this appointment?
ID or something.
Yeah, do I need certain IDs? So I'm actually going to say yes. And what you're going to see here is that we're now actually connecting this bot framework demo. We're connecting this into the Trusted Services API. And you see I just got a toast here in Skype for Business. I was actually logged in on Skype for Business as this user, Tosh Meston, from the organization Mentio Healthcare,
yep.
From that front office. So the bot, I just went from a bot conversation directly connecting to a real user now through that trusted application platform. So I can do all that call routing, getting to the right agent, but also now expose that through a consumer channels here. So you can see this agent here got a message, you know, this customer is requesting help about his appointment. Great, so I'm gonna say, hi David, how can I help you? And send that instant message. And what we'll see is that we've actually now bridged that conversation directly into the Skype client. Yep. So I can, you know, communicate back and forth with this user and say, hi, do I need to bring forms? And now we've just got a conversation that's now happening, bridged through our trusted application platform from that consumer channel into Skype for Business.
Yep.
And I know I'm showing this on Skype. Of course, this is a Skype session, but you can enable this now in any of those consumer channels using the same code that we wrote that works for Skype. So let's go take a look at Facebook, for example. Mentio Healthcare has a Facebook page. I want to go and, you know, book an appointment with this particular organization, but I'm a Facebook user. So I'm going to go here. I see Mentio Healthcare. I have the ability to message this bot. If I go and say hi, we'll see that I actually now get the same experience, that same back-end application, directly through the Facebook channel. So I can go through this flow exactly again, and my call is going to be routed now to that agent who's on Skype for Business. So you can really see the power now of kind of bridging that trusted services model with some of the intelligence and flexibility within bot framework to be able to engage with customers in brand new ways.
That's very, very cool. Very nice. Very nice. So again, early proof of concept. You'll see more from us as we talk about these type of messaging scenarios later in the year. So we'll have a lot more to talk about there. However, one of the things to keep in mind, though, is remember my earlier data point. Digital channels, chat, text, those things are growing. They're super important. We're super excited about them. We still got a voice business. We still got a ton of people that want to be able to just make calls. And so is this thing just for messaging, or can I use this for calling as well? So what do you got?
Of course. So as Andy mentioned, if you saw Gurdeep's demo of the organizational auto attendant and queuing capabilities, now available with Skype for Business Online and our E5 voice capabilities. Those are actually built on this same core platform. And what we're actually doing is we're actually making that platform available to our third parties and ISVs and customers to be actually able to build applications that can leverage those voice services. And so I'm actually going to show you an early example of that, really to get you thinking around the types of capabilities that we're working on. And I'm actually going to start that with a phone call. And so you can see here, I'm just on my mobile phone here. What I'm actually going to do is make a call to a phone number that I've actually assigned to a trusted application. This phone number has been, I just got it this week. I went into the Skype for Business Online admin portal.
Yep.
I got that number directly through the portal within 1 minute. And I've actually been able to assign that phone number now to this trusted application endpoint, and I was able to write custom code for this application.
So this is using the Skype for Business online PSTN connectivity to be able to assign a number and route those things to an app, just like we showed you with organizational auto attendant.
So let's take a look at the code that I wrote. So let's give this endpoint a call, and hopefully we have audio back there so you guys can hear this.
There we go.
Welcome to the Microsoft Ignite Skype developer platform demo. Please press 1 to speak to customer support. Press 2 to speak to sales representative. Press 0 to repeat this menu.
So you can see we built in some playing back audio prompts. I've actually got DTMF tone recognition that I can enable through the API. So I'm going to press 1.
For Windows Phone related queries, press 1. For Skype for Business queries, press 2. Press 0 to repeat this menu. Press 9 to go to previous menu.
So, of course, I'm going to select Skype for Business.
Please wait while we transfer your call.
And so we've actually built into this application now a basic IVR as well as routing, and I've actually routed this particular call directly to this agent who's on Skype for Business. So if I go and accept this call, I'm going to mute here, and you'll see that we actually now have an audio call. We can prove it's real. We now have an audio call that's been connected from this regular PSTN phone number directly through a trusted application, playing a very basic IVR scenario, reading DTMF tones, being able to route that call now to a particular user within my organization. And this is all a custom third-party app written on the platform. So it gives you an idea of some of the new kind of voice scenarios that we're thinking around and really how you can extend the power of the Office 365 voice capabilities that we have with new custom applications.
And running in Azure.
All running in Azure, correct.
That's awesome. Hand for David, please. Okay. Wow, that was cool. Thank you for putting that together. Hopefully this gives you a taste of where we're going on that particular side of it. We'll have a lot more to talk about as we go over the sort of coming months. There's a lot of things in flight, and we're very excited about the things that are coming up. But we wanted to make sure that you understood, when we talk about sort of where we're going for this, it's not ether. It's not something that maybe they'll get to at some point in the future. We're building it, we're using it ourselves, we're making it available for you guys in the very near future, and so we're excited about the work that's happening on this front. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about, okay, so how do you as partners sort of take advantage of some of these capabilities? Because we've shown you a lot of stuff that you can go and build, but part of the advantage with the developer platform is actually being able to have solutions that you can buy as well. You don't always want to build your own stuff. Sometimes you want to buy, sometimes you want to build. And so we've refreshed our program around our ISV certification, and in fact, we've introduced sort of a new model for how we do certification and certified solutions. We've started that certification really with a focus on a core set of scenarios and categories, which we'll talk about in a second. But we see it as being complementary to the things that will also start showing up inside of the marketplace. So when you think about the Office Store, for example, that is a marketplace. The marketplace will have its own set of ratings and ability for people to decide if it's a good app or not. And it will have its sort of focus on those types of applications that make sense there. End user apps, Office add-ins, things of that nature. Things will also show up on things like AppSource and the Microsoft Store. So keep in mind that we see these things as complementary. Our goal is to be able to start giving you some tailored suggestions for these things through our own solution catalog. That's not meant to be a replacement for any of these storefronts. It's meant to just be sort of something that facilitates during the purchase and decision sort of process. And so we actually have a new solution catalog that we've started spinning up at apps.skypeforbusiness.com. And I encourage you guys to go check that out if you're looking for any of the applications that we're currently tracking. Now, part of that is in recognizing that we've actually put in specific work with these partners that have gone through the certification process. And this is a fairly rigorous process. We have very documented test cases and coverage plans. We use third parties to run those cases and certify for those things. And we're very excited about the partners that have been able to complete the certification for their solutions in these categories. These are great solutions that are available for on-premises today. We have more that are actually in the app catalog, but these are the ones that have really gone through the highest level of testing and sort of rigor. And so we want to make sure that everybody understands that these are available for you to solve some of these problems. Now, part of this, though, is that these are also the partners that we're working with to really move the story forward. And so as we think about how certification plays a role, we will also be bringing new topologies for certification over the course of the year so that you have the ability to now start thinking about certified apps for Skype for Business Online and for various types of topologies, including some that you saw actually announced this week around the ability to actually have a hosted solution that actually does work with Skype for Business Online. And so you've seen both Genesys, Clarity, and ComputerTalk have offerings around these particular models for an application category that's actually traditionally been considered very, very sort of complex. So we're very excited about the work that's happening on the certified solutions side. So we've seen a lot today. We've sort of covered a lot. There are a lot of things that you can start to actually build with. And some of these technologies are things that obviously because we've shipped them in on-premises, they will continue to be supported for the life cycle of that entire product. And when we think about the work that we're moving ahead from a Skype developer platform perspective, you can see that some of these things like the web SDK and the app SDK, we're actually providing some core use cases against both on-prem and online. As we move forward though, much like the rest of the product, we expect to really push the bar in online first and fastest. And so that's where you'll see the latest and greatest capability show up. That's where it's really been, you know, best to see sort of exactly what's happening. Now, as an example of that, with the web SDK, lots of people ask, well, when are you going to have this? When are you going to have that? We actually deliver updates for the web SDK every single week. Every single week, we have updates for the web SDK. Their updates are posted on the developer site. You can see what the changes were. Sometimes the changes are smaller. Sometimes the changes are bigger. So when you want to look at, for example, like, hey, how are you guys doing with WebRTC support? Like, that's something that you're going to be able to sort of see as part of our preview, kind of week over week improve. We'll let you know when we think it's reached a point where it's broadly accessible, but really recognize that we're doing that in a very regular way. The same thing is true for the App SDK. We've actually shipped four updates, getting ready for the fourth one, since we released the App SDK preview at the end of April. So since the end of April to now, we've actually gone ahead and almost four updates, three and a half. So recognize that we're moving very fast on these things, and we want to actively encourage you to keep pace as we're moving and pushing forward here. Now, interesting piece to sort of think about then, how does this translate into what is going to happen when? So again, there's lots of stuff that we'll talk more about as we get into the year. Right now, as we look forward between now and the end of the calendar year, there are a few things that we are very focused on. Obviously, we are very focused on being able to take our app SDK and get that out of preview and into a basically generally available state. And that would be for both on-prem and online, and facilitating those types of remote advisor scenarios that we've been talking about with companies like MD Live, but many, many others. And so the ability for you to have that story, we want to make sure that we can get that delivered by the end of the calendar year. Now, as part of that, that will also come with it a bunch of new APIs for being able to schedule and join meetings programmatically. And so we've seen a lot of excitement here, not just in the remote advisor cases, but even in the internal use cases. For example, I want to have an agent that can go ahead and automatically schedule rooms for people. Like, you would be able to do that using these APIs as part of putting that together for Skype for Business Online. Now, in addition to that, you're going to see some of the things that we've demonstrated here on stage today. Those will start to show up in public preview as we get into early 2017. So those things will be made available. You'll be able to get your hands on them, work through the demos and the samples and whatnot. So we're very focused on getting these things done and recognize that our work getting this done is also about helping our organizational auto attendant and Q's work actually get to final GA as well. As we look into the first half of calendar year 2017, there's a number of things that we're going to be working on. from a scenarios perspective, some of the things that you can expect us to continue to make progress towards is really making sure that remote advisor story plays out across both the mobile and the web endpoints. The ability for us to take this sort of trusted application messaging capability and bring that into a more enterprise information agent type of scenario. The ability for you to actually start building your own custom IVRs and things like the ability for me to do prescription refill lines. So line of business automation. It doesn't even have to be sort of the mainline IVR. It could just be, again, a line that's specialty built. And then as we saw, some of the queuing and routing capabilities are fundamental to a variety of applications. And you're going to see those things come out in sort of the first half of the calendar year as well. Now, there's a lot of stuff that we're working on. Not everything's necessarily on the slide, but we'll be talking about those again in the near future. So with that, hopefully you got a sense of what we set out to accomplish here on our objective. Hopefully you got a sense of what's available now. Hopefully you got a sense of some of the core scenarios that we're targeting. And I hope you enjoyed some of the preview, the early preview of some of the things that we're delivering. And I'll just come back to the basic point. The reason for doing all this, we love the tech, we love it all, but ultimately this is about making your deployments, your customers more successful in how they're using Skype for Business to drive that usage, to drive that adoption. So that's really the main thing I want to make sure that you leave here with today. There are some other sessions, and so they were very kind and actually didn't, but I'm going to just blatantly promote the fact that both of these folks are going to join the Skype community, but before they do that, they're actually going to be delivering the next level down. So these are 400 level sessions that are going to be very specific, very detailed, walk you through code for exactly how we built both of the sort of core web SDK pieces and the trusted application API pieces. So if you're interested and you're saying, hey, that's kind of cool, I like the end-to-end demos, but I want to see real working stuff, please go. So Srividya is tomorrow at 12:30. David is going to be Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then if you want to see how this fits in with some of the partners that I identified here with our certification story, James Skay is going to be walking through with partners on stage some of the applications that they're building, and they'll have an opportunity to talk about that if you're interested in acquiring that. Last piece that I'll mention here in terms of content here is you can also feel free to check out our dev portal. It's part of dev.office.com. You can just go there and navigate to Skype, or you can just go dev.office.com/Skype, and that will take you to all the content that we have available, and that is something that is continuing to evolve and improve. All right, so to the sort of quick fun stuff, we're launching a new Skype for Business tech community for Microsoft. So Skype for Business will be part of that, so I encourage you guys to participate and ask questions. And as part of that then, there is also the sort of giveaways that we've been doing for the Rigel systems. And so I've been down in the expo both today and yesterday, and a lot of interest from people there. All you have to do is take a picture of one in action and go ahead and tweet that. Or you'll have the ability to do that on Instagram, I guess, as well. And you're entered to win one of five. So that's kind of a cool opportunity. So with that, I think we've got about 2 minutes left, maybe a little bit more. I'm happy to take questions on the side, but other than that, on behalf of Sid and David and Sri, I want to thank you for your time and for hanging out, and thanks for engaging with Skype.